I'm doing well. Hey, you doing okay after the other day?
No, everything was fine. I mean, nothing happened to us, but we had to wait a long time for the police because there was a storm going on, so we just had to like spend our day in the highway waiting, basically.
Oh, that's obnoxious.
Yes. How are you doing there?
I'm doing well. And by the way, for the listener, that was just a car crash. Not a,
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm doing well. So it's, yeah, 9 a.m. over here. What time is it where you are?
So I'm in London and it's 2 p.m.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, hey, if you have any questions, happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can just get right down to it.
Let's get right down to it, I think.
Okay, great. Let's start with your year of graduation and your major.
Sure, so I graduated 2013 and I did a double major in film scoring and MP&E.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, that was a lot of work.
Great. And what was your principal instrument?
Voice.
Voice. Great. And by the way, just curious, where are you from originally? Because you're in London now.
So I'm from Colombia, actually, from South America.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. So we will get to your history later. But for
Okay.
now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Sure. So I'm doing management consulting, and we mostly do strategy consulting for UK firms. Right now, I'm mostly working with private equity firms, so I'm advising their deals mostly in the UK.
Now, I heard you say we. Is this like, are you an employee of a consulting firm then?
Correct.
Correct. Oh, what's the consulting firm
So
name?
it's called Roland Berger, so it's ROLAND space BERGER.
Roland Berger. And about how
Yes.
large a firm is this?
I think we're around 5,000 employees globally,
Oh,
but the
gotcha.
London office it's quite small. We're just 40 consultants in London.
Only, some people would still call that fairly large.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit curious. Let's focus in on the London office. You say there are 40 consultants. Is it just like you 40 and then a little bit of support staff?
Yeah, so we have a little bit of support staff, and we're around 40 consultants, senior consultants, project managers, and then we have five partners in the office.
Got it. This is sounding almost like the structure of a law firm where everyone does law, but some of the more senior people have more responsibility.
Exactly.
Got it. Within the 40 of you, besides the axis of this person's more senior and probably has more responsibility, maybe the higher money accounts, is there a specialty like if you take you and another relatively junior person there, does each of you have a different focus, or is it like whenever the jobs come along, one of you gets it at random?
So for management consulting, I mean, like firms in our tier, how it works is that for your first 5 years, you're basically a generalist consultant. So the idea is that you get exposed to as many industries as possible. So you get to do all types of projects. So I've worked in everything. I've done oil and gas. I've done healthcare. What else have I done? IT. Power nuclear. So you basically get to do a little bit of everything for the first 5 years, and then once you find something that you really like, then you can decide that you want to become a specialist, and then you start basically only doing projects in your area of expertise.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm a little curious because you refer to these projects like sort of twin questions of how many projects are you juggling at any one moment? And also, how long do these things typically last?
So you're only doing one project at the time.
Okay.
For many reasons. Most of the projects are highly confidential, so you can't. You can't be sharing information between two firms, for example. So you have to like keep your focus within one project, and the
Sure.
project length, it depends. So for longer strategy projects, they can last between 3 and 6 months. But for private equity deals, they're fairly fast, so they usually last between 4 and 6 weeks.
Understood. Can I just ask, is your pay basically a salaried position?
So both. So you get a base salary and then you get a bonus depending on your performance and the performance of the office in the year.
Got it. Your performance meeting, like, because you're not directly selling things, right? So it's not like you're a salesperson where they quantify what you did, but presumably if you've done your work quickly and efficiently and the clients are happy.
So everybody's reviewing everyone all the time. So after a project, you're supposed to review every person in your team. So depending on how well you performed as an individual and also how your teams performed in projects, that's the percentage of bonus that it's allocated.
Sure. So I just heard you say the word team. So when you're on a project, are you often working with other consultants from Roland Berker?
Burger. Yeah, so yeah, depending on the size of the project, you are always working on a team. So let's say right now I'm working in a private equity deal and it's fairly fast project, so we need a lot of people. So it's a fairly large team for this kind of project, and I think we're around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, including partner, in the team right now.
Got it. Got it. And that also helps because there are, I'm sure, more senior and more junior people there, and you all learn from each other.
Correct.
Understood. So, I obviously, let's be sure you don't tell me anything confidential, but do you, can we zoom in a little bit and you could describe your typical day?
Sure, I don't know if there is such a thing as typical day, but
Or typical week, if you want.
yeah, sure. So let's say, mostly in London, let's say we mostly do a due diligence work for private equity. So let's say you have a 4 week project. So the first week you're basically learning everything about the industry because sometimes you have no idea, and you get a project in, I don't know, in an industry you didn't even know existed. Let's say m one of my first week I got into a project that was inspection systems for water pipes. I didn't even know that that was an industry that existed. So my first week was basically just reading everything I could about the industry reports, looking at who were the competitors, who were the manufacturers, like just the dynamics of the industry. After the first week, you get a fair grasp about what the industry is. And then you meet with the client and they give you the scope of what they want to know. After you get the scope, you start working with your team in developing a storyline of basically what you need, what you think will be a good story to tell, and the information you will need to get there, and the sources you will need to find and employ to find that information. And then week two and week three, you're basically gathering all this information, and the way we present the information is on PowerPoint. So you're basically just building slides and organizing everything in a very understandable format. And
Sure.
then week four, you're basically talking to the client and answering questions. You present them what they have, and they perhaps request more or have a few questions where you need to dig deeper. And yeah, and then there's the deadline and you just present your project. Usually you go to the client site and you have a, I don't know, maybe a 2 or 3 hour discussion with the client.
Got it. Got it. Yeah, I'm curious because you mentioned going to clients, like, how much travel is involved in your job?
Depends. So usually there's a lot. So most of the offices, the people in different offices, they travel every Monday, and they come back to their home office on Friday.
Okay.
For our office, it's kind of an exception because we have a lot of things going on in London, so we don't really travel that much. But yeah, let's say one week per month.
Got it. Some people, that would still be a lot of travel.
Yeah, it is, but for industry standards, it's not so bad.
Understood. Oh, and by the way, I'm sure it varies, but on average, how many hours per week would you say you work?
Well, I would say 80.
80?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But I understand you have to prove yourself in a company like this, and there's a lot of work coming your way.
Yes.
So, great. And my next question for you is, right, to qualify for these interviews, you have one of the criteria you said you met was that you enjoy what you do. So, I'd look.
Well, I think
Okay.
it's not like really a criteria, but I think it does come across. Well, for consulting firms, we don't have assets. Like, we sell our people. So that's all they have. They don't have anything else. So they
Right.
do have very stringent criteria on the people they choose and the recruitment processes.
Oh, just to be clear, when I said criteria, I meant criteria to do an interview with me, not to work there.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sure
Oh
they
no,
want.
yes.
Yes, where I was going there was just that, you presumably enjoy what you do, and you're definitely talking about your job with enthusiasm. But I'd love if you could articulate ex what is it about being a management consultant that you enjoy?
There's a few things I really like. Actually, I for a while I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew there were two things that were really important for me. One was always learning, always reading about new things, always being intellectually engaged. And the other thing was being part of a high-performing team. And after researching and like going to a bunch of career fairs and reading, I realized that management consulting was probably one of the only industries that would offer me that. And
Sure.
it's true. Like, as I told you, we have different projects in different industries all the time. So every month you're learning things that you didn't even know existed, as I told you before. And the people you work with are fantastic. Everyone is incredibly smart, incredibly disciplined, engaged, reliable. So you're always part of really high-performing and interesting teams.
Sure. Great answer. So, all right. I'd like us to take it back now to 2013.
Okay.
So, as you're, finishing up Berkeley, I know,
Yes.
guessing you weren't thinking management consultant. Could be wrong.
Yes.
But so I'd love if you could sort of give us where you're at, including your headspace at the time, and then let's take it one step at a time from there to where you are now.
Sure. So I graduated in 2013. I was really happy with my career choice. I was really excited to get into the music industry. I moved to LA and I started working at the Village Recorder.
At the Village Recorder, sure. What was the
Yes.
job there?
So I was an assistant engineer.
Got it, of course, the MP&E background. Can I ask how you
Yes.
got that job?
I think mostly networking. I spoke to a few people. I wrote an email to the village. I visited LA a few times, and in
Sure.
the end, I got offered an interview. And I guess I also asked for a few referrals from MP&E professors. So yeah, I just kind of networked and found myself an interview.
Okay, great. So there you are, you said an assistant engineer.
Yes.
Yep, that's a very standard sort of job, which an MP&E grad would do.
Correct. I worked there for a while. I worked in some interesting projects. I was learning a lot. but I wasn't enjoying it as much as I thought I would.
Okay.
As I told you before, I am really interested in always being intellectually engaged, and the job was getting a little monotonous for me. So I started to think about what other things I could do.
So could I ask, and by the way, I'm assuming you finished Berkeley in the spring, correct?
I finished in the summer.
Okay, in the summer. So you go
Yes.
the summer. So let's say, how long were you at that job before you started to feel restless?
Let's say maybe 8 months.
Okay, so like early 2014.
Yes.
Okay. So, sorry, please continue from there. Well, yeah, so you're starting to feel restless. Now what?
So I started doing a few things. I started producing with a few artists, but there was something missing, and I think I realized that I really loved the music, but that maybe it was not a career path for me. That I still loved it, but more as a hobby, more than as a career.
Sure. Yeah,
So
that's that. I mean, it's good that you figured that out. The next question is like, okay, great, but your degree's in music, you're working in music, so like, now what?
Correct. So I was always really good with numbers, and I was always interested in business before I attended Berkeley. So I started thinking, well, maybe I should do something businessy, but I'm not quite sure what. And also, I don't know how to get there because I have a music degree. So it was kind of a far stretch. So I started talking to a few friends who went to business school and found out what they were doing. And I realized that probably the safest bet I could make was getting an MBA. And
Okay.
after getting an MBA, then going to the business world. So I started researching about everything that I needed to do to go to a good one of the top business schools in the world. So I researched that I needed to do a certain exam called the GMAT. So I started studying for the GMAT. I also needed to get some interesting professional experience.
I'm sorry, what got you? You said you needed to get some
I
info.
needed to get an exam.
No, beyond that, then
Like,
you said
oh.
something about professional experience. I just didn't
Yes,
hear.
so then I needed to get some
Got it.
interesting or like relevant professional experience.
Sure.
So I thought I had some interesting professional experience that nobody else had, which was the music industry. But then I thought that I needed something kind of in the business world to validate my business skills. I didn't know if anyone was going to hire a music graduate, so I thought about working for a non-for-profit in the
Okay.
business side. So I
Sure.
got a job in a non-for-profit in Africa, and I moved there for 8 months to work.
You moved to Africa.
Yes, to Madagascar.
Can I quickly just ask quick how did you get this job at the and what was the not-for-profit name, if you don't mind sharing?
So it's called Unbound. So they basically do microfinance in, I think it's global. They do South America, Southeast Asia,
Yeah, microfinance is like
Africa.
giving loans of could be $50 or a few hundred dollars, right, to people at much lower interest rates than the local lenders.
Yes, you could express it like that, yes.
And so how did you get that job?
So same networking. I started researching. I already got a good score in my GMAT, so that was something I could show to prove that I was good with numbers. I got an interview in the end, and I had to fly to Atlanta, I think it was,
You say
to do the interview.
networking, like did you already
Yes.
know people who worked there or
No, I didn't. I didn't. So I started calling people, and I started meeting people, asking people for a coffee, writing emails, setting up Skype interviews, and in the end, I guess I got connected to the right person who offered me an interview for
Got
this
it.
non-for-profit. And I just flew in and I did the interview, and I got the job. So as I said, I moved to Madagascar for 8 months.
Wow.
which gave me the, I guess, the last bit that I needed for my business school application.
Now, quick question, if you're comfortable answering it, because obviously this job for you was a means to an end, right? It was not your long-term career path. So really the primary thing you got out of the job was the experience. I mean, that's why you were going for this. But I guess I am curious, I'm just curious for myself, like an entry-level microfinance job in, like, Gasker, do you mind sharing about what it paid?
Oh, no, I did it for free.
Ah, got it. So, yeah, definitely there for the experience.
Yes, definitely. And in reality, I was always really interested about African culture, and I really wanted to see the dynamics. So for me, it was something always in the back of my mind. So I just thought it was the right time to do it, since it would also help me with something I needed at the time.
Sure. So, as you said, you did that for 8 months. You applied to business schools. And
Yes,
where did
and
you end up going?
so I ended up doing my MBA half at AGSM, which is the top business school in Australia, and then I finished at London Business School in London.
Oh, see, you had this very international perspective. Obviously, you're from Colombia, school in the United States, job in Madagascar. But what made you? It's funny because I actually, the person I interviewed just before you went to graduate school and studied business in New Zealand. So
Okay.
I asked her, I know, practically even neighbors, right? But
Yes.
it's kind of like, what made you say, like, oh yeah, Australia, that's where I'm going to go?
My family's Australian, my mom's Australian, so it just seemed like a natural choice. I didn't really want to live in the States anymore. I stayed there for almost 6 years, and I thought it was time for a change. So it just seemed like the most natural choice at the time.
Oh, so your family's Australian, but you're from
Yeah.
Colombia.
My mom's Australian, yeah. My dad's Colombian.
Gotcha. So you apply, you get the. And just when did you start business school then?
So I started in August 2015.
Okay.
Yes,
Yeah, so
September
then.
2015.
And then you finish in.
So I finished this year in May.
May of 2017.
Yeah.
And can I just ask really quickly, what was the switch halfway through? Was that just what the program was, or did you decide that the London offered something that the Australian school did not?
Oh, so you had the opportunity to do kind of like the core subjects in Australia, and then they have like a partnership worldwide with many different business schools to do your electives. And it's kind of a standard to go for your electives at an international, like at another institution. So
Got
it
it.
was not something I just did. Most MBAs do that anyway.
And curious, like, was this like, can I say a generic MBA, or did it have like a specialization with it, an MBA in international business or something like that?
No, so an MBA usually does not have any specialization. It's just like
Got
a generic thing.
it.
And then when you do your electives, it's kind of when you specialize. So you choose the electives on the subjects that you're more interested about. And then you can leverage that if you want when you're getting a job in a specific industry, but you don't really do a specialized MBA.
Understood. So I hadn't realized that. Thank you.
No problem.
So then, let's see, as you say, you finished in 2017. So it sounds like you got straight into this job that you're in. How did that? I think you alluded to doing a bunch of research as to what would put you on a high performing team and have you constantly learning stuff. So had you basically figured out you wanted to do management consulting by the time you finished business school?
For sure. Basically, like you're really brainwashed during your MBA, and you basically mostly either go to a startup, you go to investment banking, or you go to consulting, and you have
Sorry,
different.
that's an interesting word you use, brainwashed. Brainwashed, usually people use that to mean taught something false or believing something.
it's kind of true because you get all these firms coming to you constantly, just trying to recruit you. And offering, offering their firm and telling what they're different and what they do, and bringing all these employees to tell you about their daily life. So, yeah, in the end, you kind of, not even in the end, like halfway, you already have a very clear idea of what you want to do.
Got it.
By halfway, I had already heard about every consulting firm, and I really like the people that work for many of the consulting firms, and I like what they did. So I was really sure halfway that that's what I wanted to do.
How did you end up getting the position at Roland Berker?
You do an internal recruitment process through your MBA. So basically, like the consulting firms come to campus and you recruit through campus. So I just apply to different consulting firms in campus, and in the end I decided to go for this firm, for Roland Berger.
Gotcha. So it was just that in campus, you got the job offer, they looked good, done.
Yes.
And hired into your current position, I assume, because
Correct.
been there about half a year.
Mm-hmm.
So great. All right, let's move on to the third part of the interview.
Okay.
My first question is, like, these days, meaning, second half of 2017, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
So it's very different from what it used to be, and I think
That's it. There's no right or wrong answer.
yeah, no, I understand. But I think I enjoy it more nowadays. I don't really play that much music anymore, but I really like to listen to music, and I'm always in the lookout for new artists. I love going to live music shows. I just find that I can enjoy it more now that I am in the receiving end, I guess. And I don't have the pressure of having that as my career anymore.
Sure, so you're enjoying and appreciating music.
Yes.
By the way, I may have forgotten to ask you this at the beginning. What was your principal instrument at Berkeley?
Voice.
Voice, got it. All right, so yeah, you're enjoying going to music, experiencing music is your relationship.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. My next question for you is obviously, you had to get that MBA to, have your current career as a management consultant, or let's say that was the most direct path. But, right, it sounds like there obviously was a lot of flexibility on what your undergraduate degree could be.
Yeah,
So,
definitely.
I'm sure you have lots of coworkers who didn't go to a place like Berkeley. You're probably the minority there.
Yeah.
And, so let's say, relative to if you'd gone to some other college and studied something else, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
I just find that I have a different view on things than everybody else, and the way I think it's a little bit different. Sometimes I manage to be more creative, and sometimes that's very useful in management consulting.
Sure.
And also, I was exposed to a very diverse group of people when I was at Berkeley. So I think I became really culturally aware really fast. And when you work in management consulting, I think that's very useful because you have colleagues from all over the world, from all types of backgrounds and industries. So I think I was really prepared to be part of a team that was as diverse as it is here.
Sure. A great answer. Let's turn that question around now. Because Berkeley gives that one degree, a bachelor's in music, and you went there knowing that.
Yeah.
But all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Anything missing or incomplete in your Berkeley education?
I wish there was a little bit more push towards business. I know that many people don't enjoy it, but maybe I think it's because they haven't been exposed to it in the right way. And I think it's useful to everyone, for everyone, especially since so many people at Berkeley become freelancers or start their own business. I think it would be useful for everyone to get a little bit more education around business.
Gotcha. No, very good answer. All right, so my next question for you is, right, there you were and, working in a music job, but realizing that maybe this wasn't what you really wanted in life. And you had a few conversations, figured out what you wanted to do, launched yourself wholeheartedly in that direction, right? Did your GMATs, went and did this internship, again, almost halfway around the world in order to get applied, got to Exit Business School. Like, here you are. So let's say once you figured it out, I'm not saying you snapped your fingers and got it, but you quickly put yourself on that path to where you are now. I'm sure you're aware that there are other people who finished Berkeley recently who maybe haven't yet found that path, or people in their last year at Berkeley looking out into the big scary world and going, oh my God, what comes next? So for like either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Let me think for a moment. I guess not being afraid to try anything, and not being afraid to fail. Failing is not bad. Not being afraid to change, and to start again. It's never too late, and
Sure.
if you change and put your heart, if you change careers or paths or geographies or whatever you want to change, if you do it in a structured manner and you do it wholeheartedly, as you can see, you can reach anything and you can transition from being a recording engineer in LA to a management consultant for private equity houses in London. So anything, I guess, is possible, and there's no need to be afraid. I think it's just a matter of researching and taking structured steps towards where you want to go.
Sure. Now, to follow that up a little bit, I believe you're my 102nd interview. And as I'm sure you can imagine, I don't know if you looked at that page, other berkeleyalumni.com.
I did.
Okay. So I'm sure you can imagine, I don't think anyone's going to listen to all 102.
No, I
But,
don't think so either.
right. And it pains my ego to say that. But all that said, right, you're going to go up, your interview will go up as a management consultant. So, who's listening to this interview? The people who said, oh, management consultant, let's check out what that's about. Maybe that's something I want to do. So, for anybody who's thinking of going into management consulting, or even so, broaden that out a little bit if you wish, do you have any specific advice for them?
If you're a Berkeley grad and you want to change your career path and get into business, don't be afraid of basically make Berkeley or make the fact that you're a musician your differentiator. Don't be afraid that they won't take you seriously because you do music. No, the opposite. You will be different and you will be attractive. So definitely leverage that if you want to enter the business world. Don't be afraid and don't try to hide it. It's completely the opposite. It's highly appreciated.
Sure. Well, that's great. Well, hey, Susanna, I just have one last question for you.
Okay.
Which is, you have the mic, and you're being recorded. So, is there anything we missed? Anything else you'd like to say?
I guess not. I think all he said, and just that if anyone is ever interested in getting to management consulting or has any questions, I would be more than happy to help any Berkeley alumni. So please do not be afraid to reach out. I'm always available and you can always send me an email.
That's very nice. Are you on LinkedIn, by the way?
I am.
Okay, great. Is it cool if I post like a link to your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah,
is that
definitely.
A good way for people to reach you?
That's great.
All right. Perfect. Well, hey, Susanna, I really enjoyed this interview. You've had a really interesting career path. It was awesome to hear about it.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
So, great. Well, hey, look for a message from me in the near future, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much. Best of luck to you as well.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye now.